Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back. I hope you guys have had a good week and are doing something amazing that you're excited about, because today I have someone amazing for you. And this someone isn't just a someone. This is someone who's part of the heartbeat of Smart Dating Academy. This is someone who many of you know, many of you have seen. She's been with me for a decade. She's been on the Instagram live show. If you have worked with Smart Dating Academy, chances are she has coached you, or even behind the scenes, if you haven't known it, she's helped develop the curriculum that has coached you. She's on the Love Labs. She does one-on-ones. I present to you today, I couldn't be more excited to have my right-hand person, Lindsay Anderson, with us today. Lindsay, thank you for finally putting some time on the calendar to do this, because I couldn't be more excited to have you here.
Oh, Bella, so sweet. Well, I know I've been so excited about doing this. I know we've talked about it for a while, but you've done such an amazing job with this so far that you've got it covered. I couldn't be more thrilled to be here.
Well, as many of you guys know, we've been on a wait list. Things have been crazy here. And so Lindsay coaches so many clients, and on the personal side, is happily married and has three amazing children and has moved to Columbus, Ohio, all in the past year. So getting on her calendar was, you know, something that we had to really work on. And here we are. So, Lindsay, I mean, I could talk about you all day, but why don't you give people that are new to us kind of just a little bit of background on you, and then we're going to dive into the heart and soul of how you have helped so many of our clients to successfully find love. And you're going to pull the curtains back and you're going to talk about the secrets of what has made these people so successful.
All right. I am ready to go. Well, yes, it has been a big year, big transition. I was in Chicago for 20 years. So moving to Columbus was a big change. And fortunately, I'm so happy that we have figured out a way to make this all work and really keep things going, because I think the biggest thing I miss was Bella and I used to get together in person weekly, and I get to see that smiling face all the time. And so now I just get to see it over Zoom, which is just as fun. But yes, I can't believe it's been about 10 years. I thought about that when I thought about your daughter going off to college and when I met her and she was in elementary school. So time goes by really fast.
Oh, it really, really does. So I literally feel like in some ways you've been with me for 5 minutes, in some ways it's been forever. Like, I can't imagine doing this without you, and for 1,000 reasons. But, you know, Lindsay not only has, you know, people ask me, Bella, how do you bring people onto your own staff? I'm like, well, it's a pretty high bar. So I'm going to let Lindsay tell you about her background, but I will tell you that our relationship started because I got an email into our contact database from Lindsay. So I will let you tell us your story.
Well, it's funny because we are going to give you guys great secrets to dating success today. But I would say that Bella and I had one of those first dates when we met that was very fast, furious, and family may have been involved. So But you know, it's one of those things. I think things happen for the right timing and the right reason. And I've been involved in the date coaching world for close to 20 years now. I started off as a matchmaker. I was a very successful matchmaker, helped thousands of people really find love, and really appreciated just, you know, I really always felt that my heart was helping put people together. But I definitely observed some patterns over the years as a matchmaker, which is that when people come to see you, they have a very clear criteria of what they think they need in a relationship. And it is a checklist, and it is a very similar checklist. It is the same criteria over and over and over again. And sometimes we're able to get that lined up and teach people, and they get everything they want on the list, and but then they sometimes can end up in relationships where they feel like, okay, I'm with this person who's good on paper. He's everything I thought I wanted. He is tall. He is successful. He's got his advanced degree, but they never felt fulfilled. So I decided to take a step back. I have a background in psychology, and I was interested in the coaching angle of helping people understand like how it is their patterns and their backgrounds help influence the kind of partners that they select. So I took a step back from matchmaking and went and became a certified coach and tried to start my own business. And I had my clients, but it was when I was sitting there working with my own clients that I saw a friend pointed out Bella on TV, and she's like, look at this woman's doing what you're doing, but she's really doing it well. You should go check out her website. And I checked it out and I looked at it and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to reach out to her because I feel like it would be way more fun to do this together. And so I started to send Bella a bunch of emails. First one, ignored. Second one, she ghosted. No, I never heard back.
Oh my God, you guys, this is the real, this is like behind the scenes. I wouldn't say after dark yet. We can certainly do an after dark episode with Lindsay, however, because she knows all the things.
I do.
I was ghosting. Like I just would read it and continue to move on.
Yes, but I would add a different point each time. And finally, you know, it's the right time where my email came in, bing, at the moment, maybe a few seconds before she had realized maybe I should get a little help around here. And we finally agreed to meet for coffee. And this is where I joke. It was literally, I think within the first few minutes of meeting you, it was like we had always been friends. It was a really, really lovely connection, and it was really easy. And I think we both got really caught up and excited about what we wanted to talk about and how we could maybe. And you looked at me, I think, at the end of this coffee, and this was in the Bloomingdale's building on 900 North Michigan, I remember. And you're like, huh, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to find some way to make this work.
Exactly. Because I had only started the business basically 2 years before and was growing it, but was still able to manage the things on my own. And I wasn't sure, am I really ready to take a risk? Because I came from the business world. I had 100 people reporting to me in property, plant, and equipment. And I swore when I did this, this was going to be my fun passion project and it was going to be me. And that way I didn't have to think about all of the things. And then along comes this beautiful, smart person sitting in front of me. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can commit again. So, right. I was clearly, you guys, the bad dater here for 100 reasons. So I did meet her. And so now you know that even if you don't hear from someone, you can continue to nudge them a little bit, right? And you never know what's going to happen. And if you feel like you're getting nudged by somebody, okay, and you're not responding and you're finally like, okay, I really like that message, agree to meet this person. Because if me coaching people on dating, putting the hat on in the work world, if I wouldn't have agreed to, the last 10 years certainly would not have looked like the way they looked. And I think what Lindsay you know, was saying, obviously, is our first date was like supposed to be an hour and it was like 4 hours.
Oh, and then I met your family afterwards.
Yeah, my entire family, my nanny, my kids. I took her to my parents' house. Like everything we tell you not to do on a date. We didn't sleep together, which was fine. That's kind of where we ended things. Like that happened later. I'm kidding.
But don't go to houses. We're always like, don't go to their houses. And I'm like, sure, Bella, I'll go to the house and meet the whole family. It was very...
Absolutely.
My husband, 100%. Oh my God, Ryan, when I got home that day, he's like, well, how did it go? I'm like, well, I met the parents. I've met the... He's like, wait, what? I said,
right.
This is going to work. I just know this is going to work. I had that good feeling.
100%. And... as we figured, as I left the date going, we're going to make this work somehow, I said to her, I'd really like us to do dinner with our spouses a week later. And we did dinner with our husbands because I knew in my gut, okay, if this person is going to work with me and help us to make our clients more successful, is she walking her walk? I would like to meet her husband. And so we did dinner and I can't remember what the name of that restaurant was on Clark Street. And it was called something else then, but the four of us met and the minute, and you guys know me by now, I have really good spidey sense, really good intuition on people. Obviously with Lindsay, I'm like, we're going to do this. Met her husband, Ryan. I was like, okay, this is a done deal. He's amazing. He's super supportive. And he literally said like something like, I feel like you two are like the same person and you're both talkative and you're both like, okay, this is going to work. So at that point, this relationship began. And what Lindsay is saying is exactly right. And was the ethos, with which I started Smart Dating Academy. It's matchmaking. And I know so many of you listening to this are like, I just want a matchmaker. I want to cut through all the brush. And I just want somebody to dole up someone on a plate because I'm sick of online dating. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that. But I will tell you what, Lindsay and I both had similar experiences. Matchmaking, guys, it enables you to stay with that list of what you want versus what you actually need to be happy in a relationship. And remember the data, 50% of first marriages end in divorce, 67% of second marriages, 74% of third marriages. So what we were very aligned with and what we're aligned on in our company today is we're going to help you, number one, to find the lid to your pot that is permanent. You're not going to get divorced because in 13 years, we've had zero divorces and I'm not taking anybody into our practice to wreck that statistic. Okay.
So, I'm with you on that.
And so that's what we're doing here is we're helping people. And what Lindsay's been instrumental at doing in the last decade is helping to help people to help you find what it is that's really going to make you happy all the way to the little tiny cells in your toes, all the way up to the tippy top flyaway hairs in your head. Who is a person that is going to make you happy ad infinitum? Do you have to get married? No, we don't care. It's neither. It's one. It's it. Yeah. It doesn't matter to us whether you decide you're going to go to the church or the mosque or the temple or have somebody officiate the wedding. That's a 30 to 60 minute ceremony. Great on you. But we help people no matter what your end goal is, as long as you want to find your person, your other half, the yin to your yang, the lid to your pot. That is what we do together. And we do it pretty damn well.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. We do it pretty damn well. So we've got a couple things and Lindsay's been incredibly successful. And so what she's done is kind of, like I said, she's like the Wizard of Oz. You might not have heard her until now, but she's certainly there pulling lots of strings in the background. And what she's going to lead us through now are, you know, several points that have made her clients successful. And the reason we're sharing these is because all we want is for you, dear listener, to be successful. So we're going to give you, we're wringing out the towel. We're pulling out the juice of what is really making people successful. And you can take the reciprocal of that. What's not making people successful? So Lindsay, start sharing your best stuff with us.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think the biggest thing is, Bella, you and I both, we love so much. And because we've now been doing this long enough, there are very consistent patterns that we see in dating and things that people can do that can really help them find love. And I know, and just talking, we're in the weeds every single day. I am on the phone all day long talking to clients, one after the other, hearing their stories, sort of seeing what's going on online and really help them kind of sort through everything that's happening and keep them focused on what the outcome's going to be. Yeah, these are typical patterns. Now, remember, anything we're going to share with you, we all know the one-off story, the urban legend, the myth, the one thing totally. Where somebody doesn't take this advice and they find the lid to their pot. So we all know that. But I am a big believer in let's do what the majority, what typically works. What's the biggest percentage? Let's ignore that 10% and focus on the 90%.
Amen. We are about the rule, not the exception. And if you follow the sage advice she's going to drop on you today and really start thinking about it, think about, man, am I really showing up in the way Yeah. Lindsay and Bella are telling me to show up? And okay, like yes or no, and have that good look at yourself in the mirror. And sometimes we tend to turn the mirror outward in dating and we say, okay, it's just that there's not good enough people. I just need more access to people. All of these people are boring. They're beneath me. But so listen to the things that we're going to talk about today and how we help people to change their mindsets, to change what they're doing and how they have become successful.
Exactly. I think you're right. And I think the first thing I just want to really address is, having done this long enough, I will tell you, you will not know who the love of your life is based on an online profile or a first date.
Oh, say that for the people in the back.
Oh, I will tell you, my happily married clients, my clients who are just partnered off, they don't know who that person is. It does not hit them, contrary to what we hear about, you know, in Hollywood. It does not hit them where they look at that first profile. They get super excited and they're like, that one, that right there is going to be my future husband or wife or partner. They never, ever know that. What happens is this is a much slower burn. The profile doesn't have red flags. It might have a lot of information. It might have a little information, but there's something sort of about the pictures, even if they're not great pictures, where they look like they just look nice. They give the person a chance and they screen them in slowly and steadily. They have a good first date. It's not an amazing first date. In fact, Bella and I often joke, when we have a client tell us that this date was the best date they've ever been on in their life, this person blew them away. He was amazing or she was amazing. We sit back and take pause. We're like, okay, tell us more. And then we make sure they have a dating funnel and we do a lot of other things to guard against it, because what comes out as a first date does not immediately translate into love at first sight. It doesn't happen. So we tell our clients, date slowly, have a good first date, ease into it. And then typically what happens is those first few dates go really well. I have observed that around date 4 or date 5, all of a sudden people are like, uh-oh. And they get a little worried and they wonder, how do I know? Is this the person I'm going to marry? I'm like, just keep the person in the mix. Give them more dates. Give them more time. It gets better and better.
Absolutely. Or to Lindsay's point, at date 4 or date 5, sometimes it could get better, but sometimes it might get worse. And you only know that by dating slowly, not rushing to get yourself offline, right? Because how many times do you hear from someone, Lindsay, when they're on date 3 or 4 that they want to shut everything down?
All the time. In fact, every single week with my coaching, there's two things I hear. I hear, number one, by date 3 or date 4, he always invites them to his house for dinner because he wants to cook dinner. And then we have to have that conversation, which we'll get to. And then the other thing I hear is, this one seems, he seems like a good one. I just feel really guilty if I'm dating other people and I feel like things are going really well and I just, you know, let me just kind of take a step back. I'm so busy with work. I just want to see where this thing goes. And as soon as I hear that, I know, ooh, okay, we're going to have a conversation here. We want to make sure that you're successful, that you, that this truly is the lid to your pot. So I'm going to always coach you, never put all your eggs in one basket. Make sure that you diversify the dating pool and that you always have other options to compare and contrast to. That is the smartest strategy you're going to have. That's how you're going to start to see if there are red flags. That's how you're going to start to see if you like this person a little bit more by comparing his behavior, her behavior to the others in the mix.
It's so true. I mean, you guys know, I always say there is no substitute for this one thing in the dating process, and that is time. Okay, that is time. And most of our clients, look, we're all driven as human beings to want to know something instantly. I want to look at a profile and I want to say, oh my God, that is my husband. Look at what he says. Look at his job. Look at how great he looks. I want this to be my last first date, right? You got 50-50 odds. It's heads or tails. Yes. And date by date, when we've taught our clients what they need to know, and they have their own particular list, right, of who they're, if they're women and they're looking for men, who their own high GHQ guy is, what their elevator people look like. And they know who they're looking for. And sometimes, and even with all of that information, we still want to jump ahead. We still, because we've had that message ingrained in us from Hollywood, from Harlequin, from Bollywood, that there's a 3-date rule and we should know this and I shouldn't be dating other people. And especially when people have come out of long marriages, whether they've been divorced or widowed, it becomes very hard for people sometimes to say, oh, I can keep dating multiple people at the same time. But like Lindsay's saying, guys, you're never going to know. We all want to know, oh, that's my person. I want to shut everything down. You will never know that, for better or for worse. The people, and I can tell you, one of our biggest adages at Smart Dating Academy is love is going to come to you in an unexpected package. Okay. And so you're not going to know that by looking at 5 photos and 200 characters. You're just not. If you were hiring someone for your company, except for me hiring Lindsay, ignore this advice. You wouldn't hire someone, right? I was a solopreneur at the time. So I was judge and jury. But if you're working, many of you are successful executives. You work for big companies. You wouldn't hire someone right on the spot. You'd have a team of people. You'd have several interviews. That's more of how we're going to coach you to think about the dating process, because everybody can look good on date one, but what happens on the 5th date? What happens on the 10th date? What happens on the 15th date, right? So this is where Lindsay has really, on a weekly basis, she's helping people, sifting people in, sifting people out, teaching people how to use your own gut, how to use your own spidey sense, because we have a lot of empathy for you, right? Yeah. It's hard sometimes. Our compass is demagnetized. We've had so much shit, so much bad stuff happen to us in the dating world. We're like, okay, last time I dated somebody who was older than me, so, and that didn't work out. So should I only date people that are younger than me? Yes. So this is where slowing things down and not, and just knowing that love is going to come to you in an unexpected package. And like she's sagely saying, you are not going to know who the love of your life is by looking at a photo and looking at somebody's profile one time. So isn't it wonderful to give everybody that doesn't have red flags a chance, and then maybe another chance, and then maybe another chance?
Yes, exactly. And that's where the people, I've had clients who are in wonderful relationships right now where they would have thrown that person out after date 3 because they weren't feeling it. We hear the, I'm just not feeling it. I don't know. We hear that all the time. And that person, if they, and they look back at the end of it, like, oh my God, had I just stopped going on a date with this person, I wouldn't be in the relationship I am. I wouldn't be as happy as I am right now. So it's making sure that you give yourself time until you absolutely know. And I'll talk about attraction is really important. And I will say that if you find that this is a lovely, kind person, but date after date, you really cringe with the idea of even holding hands or getting closer, or they're just not becoming a little smidge more attractive to you after each date, well, then by all means, let them go. They could be a lovely person. They don't have to be your person. But a good, successful dater is one where they keep a nice pipeline of about 3 to 4 people in the mix each week, guys, each week. That might be one person they're messaging online, somebody they're talking to on the phone, someone they're setting up a video call with, somebody they're going on a first date with. And then as somebody drops out, someone new gets cycled in. But the key is that you have options. You are diversified. And that you are open to the idea that who you think is the front runner might not be the front runner. Things happen all the time. We just don't know. You know, somebody could be great and then something happens in their life and then they take themselves out of the race. But keep your options open. And with that too, I would also say, ignore the clock. You know, Bella, we're talking about giving people time, but take the pressure off of yourself that you have to know who this person is right away, that you have to find love right away, that if it doesn't happen within your first few weeks of online dating, you're a failure. Do not tell yourself that story. That is just nonsense. It's nonsense.
It is 100% nonsense. And I will tell you this, even, you know, we've done this podcast and we've talked about different love stories and different episodes and even just alluded to them. And one of the things, you know, people will say is, well, gosh, Lindsay, Bella, I've been doing this. I've been at this for 6 months or 12 months or 18 months or 3 years, and I still haven't found love yet. And there's other people that you're talking about that have. Ladies and gentlemen, like Lindsay's saying, ignore the clock. We can do all of the things. You can do all of the things, have the right photos, the right profile, be filling your pipeline, like Lindsay's saying, with 4 different people per week. But there's certain things we don't have control over, which is the universe saying, guess what, lovely single person? Now is your time that this is going to be your last first date. So if you're listening to what she's saying, and when we're saying ignore the clock is so, it's a multi-pronged ignore the clock. Ignore the BS advice where people tell you there is a 3-date rule. Yes. Ignore the clock that your friends are going to tell you, like, oh my God, well, you should be sleeping with him. It's like 5 or 6 dates, or you haven't had her to your place yet. You're never going to get laid. Whatever all of that is, ignore the clock that other people are telling you about. And sometimes most importantly, ignore the clock that you feel like you want to jump into something too fast, or ignore the clock where you're going, well, why is she successful and I'm not? Why did it happen for her the first date she went on? It could be my neighbor. It could be a story you hear from Lindsay or me. You know what? It's just not your time yet. But guess what? The only way to remain single forever is to do nothing.
Yes.
To quit.
Yes. Yes. And you're exactly right. Love, guys. Sometimes you get lucky and you find the love of your life in your 20s. Sometimes it happens in your 60s. And I think that's the beauty of what I appreciate having done this long enough to see. I see love happen at every single age. There is not a magic number. There is not a time. And sometimes you get to focus on your career and you get to do the things that you wouldn't have been able to do, maybe. I'm thinking of a client of mine who's had an incredible experience. And then now she's able to dial it back. And she was able to find somebody because she now has the time and the energy and the effort to put towards it later in life. The key, though, is you have to do something every single day, because doing a little bit of dating every day adds up to huge results over time. The most success happens, I tell people, spend 15 minutes in the morning on the apps. 15 minutes at the end of the day. We're not asking you to put hours into this every day. You have a life, you have friends, you have to cook dinner. You've got a lot going on, but you have to do a little bit every single day. It, not only does it help with your algorithms, with the profiles online and making sure that you get seen, but it also keeps you in the game and keeps you invested. The biggest mistake I see is people get really excited about this. They are all in. They put so much time up front. And then they get exhausted, overwhelmed, and they quit. And they want to take lots and lots of breaks. it's not successful. It doesn't work.
No, absolutely. And doing something every day is key. This is like what we're helping you to do at Smart Dating Academy and Lindsay with her clients is helping to do this every day, to build this into your life in a way that you would build fitness, in a way that you would build your social life, in a way that you would put any big pie piece following your stock portfolio, right? 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening. And I'll tell you a secret. We have our clients shutting off their notifications. Yes. I don't want you hearing from Match or Bumble or Tinder or Coffee Meets Bagel or whatever it is on a minute by minute basis because it makes you feel drained. Okay. So what we do, and what she does an incredible job of with our clients. Some clients, and you can speak to this, want to do this early in the morning. Yes. Some clients want to do it after dinner. And every person that Lindsay works with gets into their own rhythm of how this works into their particular life. But you can't start and stop. It's like trying to lose weight and 6 out of 7 days, you're going to eat all these foods that are inflaming you, making you crave more food. But one day you're going to eat super healthy and go to the gym. Are you going to get results by doing that? You're not.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And how you feel and what your mindset is each time that you put aside time to date is also equally important. If you are somebody, first of all, they always say a good habit, tackle the thing you don't want to do first. Now, I wish the whole world was in love with the process of dating, like Bella and I are. Like, we love online dating. We want everyone to fall in love with the process of online dating. But if this is something that's a little hard for you, take care of it first. Get it out of the way. Think about also, when are you most energetic? When do you feel good? I personally, my best time of day is when I get that first cup of coffee in the morning. I ask my clients, like, if you're a morning person, sit with that cup of coffee, have this part of your routine, log in 15 minutes, answer the people who wrote you the night before, keep up consistency. And then at the end of the day, do another 15 minutes or over the lunch hour. But if you save all of this at the end of the day, when you've been on your computer all day long and you've been at meetings and you're drained, be mindful of the fact that you're going to take that energy into how you're viewing profiles online, what kind of responses you're going to send. If you're tired, you're going to send a response that might sound a little tired, or everybody's going to look like they're a terrible fit. So you want to make sure that you tap into this when you're excited and when you're like, all right, I'm starting my day. What could happen next? You jump in, you got your cup of coffee or whatever it is, your tea. And then at least if at the end of the day, it's been a long one and you can't get to the other 15 minutes, you've at least logged in at least once where you have the sites know that you've been active for the day. So that's just really key.
And it's so important to do it. Like Lindsay said, it's your time is going to be different than somebody else's time, right? For me, after I've had my first cup of coffee, the next thing I'm going to do is go for the second cup of coffee, right? So my creativity and juice comes a little later and after a little bit more black coffee. So everybody is going to be a little bit different. And so you knowing you, when am I at my best? When am I feeling excited about this? Because what I can also tell you is when you're doing this, if you're looking at your online profile and the people that are there matching with you or messaging you, and you're not in the right mind space, maybe you're like Bella and you haven't had your second and your third cup of coffee yet. You're going to look at everybody with this gray cloud over you and go, I don't know, ugh, mediocre, yuck, yuck, yuck. And then when I crawl into your inbox with you later in the day and I'm like, wait a second, what about this woman? Why didn't you message her? What about this guy? Oh my gosh, I don't know how I missed him. I'm like, I know how you did. You had your gloom and doom glasses on. So you've got to do this at a time where you're feeling peppy about this. And if you're driving in your car and you're listening to the two of us and you're going, hell, I never feel peppy about dating, then I think it might be time for you to seek out some date coaching to get some pep in your step. So if you feel like, oh my God, I hate this process, and these two are having fun, I would maybe suggest it's time for you
come to join us.
Join us for the fun, because it, and this is one of the biggest things that we get, is we're really helping people to adjust their mindset. But we're going to delve more into mindset. Probably I'm going to be lucky enough to have Lindsay on a follow-up episode. So we're not going to go to mindset now, but I'm just going to have to leave you on a cliffhanger to hear all of our thoughts on mindset for the follow-up episode. But, you know, we talk about something, and, you know, actually, I want to back up for a second. Before I get into the next point that she's going to make, I want you to talk about this famous 1% example that you talk about.
Ah, okay. Well,
when we're talking about little tiny changes, little tiny results that are going to add up over time.
Yes. So there's, I'll recommend, I read the book Atomic Habits, which
it's amazing.
It is amazing. James Clear. First of all, I love books like this, but I felt that this one was in particular really good. And there's an example in that book that talks about how it's the 1% example, that a 1% improvement every day for a year will yield over a 37 times the initial result. Doing something small every day adds up to a massive change. And I look at that with our client, with our smart daters that we work with, that when they are in the weeds every single week and we have a plan for them. I've got a schedule. We're very organized around here. And it's, all right, here's a certain number of people we want you to reach out to every day. Here's how we're going to set up your pipeline. Here's what we're going to do. What I will do is sometimes they get caught up in the, is it working? Am I meeting people? And we'll do a step back and a review. And I'm like, all right, let's put a list together. How many people did you talk to this week? Okay, now let's take a month. Let's look back at the lens for the past month. How many dates did you go on a month? Now, if the average person sometimes will go out once every other week or so, maybe they're meeting two people a month. Our clients are meeting a lot of people every single week, each month, and it adds up. And I had a client do this the other day. She sent me a list. She's been at this for about 3 months. She has had about 30 conversations.
Wow.
3 months. Now, she's not overdoing it. She's sticking to her plan every day, but she's screening people in. She's going, not all of them get to go to the dates because we're very discerning who we have our clients meet in person.
We sure are.
Yes, we are. But if she starts looking at, she's like, gosh, I felt it was a really slow week. And I'm like, okay, well, we've got 10 people on for this week. She's like, okay, maybe it's not as slow as I thought it was. So these little things, they really do add up. And so I always tell you, if you're starting to feel like you're in a little bit of a dating slump, look back and look at what success you've had over the month, over the past 3 months. It's usually a lot more than you realize.
Exactly. Because our brains are wired for negativity. From a survival standpoint, right? So we're always going to look at what's not working, how much ground I have left to cover. But if you're a dater, and one of the metaphors I give people all the time is sometimes we tend to look up. If we take a metaphor of you climbing a mountain, right? You've been doing this for 3 months, 6 months, 6 years, six decades. I don't know. And you're in the middle of the mountain. Sometimes people look up at the top and go, oh my God, I have so much further to climb, instead of actually taking a look behind your shoulder and saying, look at how much ground I've already covered. And how could I be 1% better on Tuesday? And then on Wednesday, and then on Thursday. And James Clear on Atomic Habits, Lindsay recommended the book for me. It's awesome. He talks to, I think it was a basketball team, and they were pretty fledgling. They weren't doing well. And he had every player just say, I want you to focus on being 1% better than you were yesterday. And this resulted in them becoming champions and all of the things you would expect in a great book that's talking about the 1% effect. But how can you be 1% better today than you were yesterday in the dating world? Okay. Yeah. And small changes. For some of you, that might mean maybe I can spend one more minute online. Great. Maybe you can send one more message. Great. Maybe you'll agree to do that video date. Great. I want you to think about what your 1% is, and I want you to do it. Are you in? We're high-fiving you over, over the wires here, because I know, hopefully I've persuaded you.
I love that. I love that. And I think you're right. It's whatever works best for you. But if you look at the end of the week, you guys, dating requires effort and work. We all wish it were easy. It does require work, but we're not asking for a lot of work. We're asking for a little bit of work. And at the end of the week, look back and reflect and give yourself your own high five for everything you did that week. And if it's a slow dating week, like, great. Then I've had my down week. Next week, what am I doing next? Like, you just keep at this and you will see big changes. And I've had clients who, when they send out more messages, all of a sudden, you know, we say it's a 1 in 10 rule. For every 10 messages you send out, one person is going to get back to you. So if you double it and you send extra that week, you're going to have more. You're going to double your results. So keep at it. You've got this.
Right. And if you don't, we can certainly give you some good counsel around how to start making those small changes that add up to big results for you, dear listener, over time, because it's possible. And I want you to know that Lindsay's on here and I'm on here to tell you that you can do this. You can do this. We've seen love stories happen against the odds. We see them all the time on a daily basis. Just this week, we got a message from a client who sent us an engagement photo from Italy, right? And so these little changes can add up to big things, but they take time, right? And you know, I talk about the three P's: patience, positivity, and perseverance. And that is what you need to play the long game on this, right? Because 1% changes, that's a long game. That's not, I'm going to find love tomorrow and you know, Jeff Bezos is going to send a drone and, you know, hand deliver my partner to my mailbox 5 minutes from now. That's not what's going to happen. And let's, along with that, let's talk about what you say is the treasure hunt.
Oh, I love the treasure hunt. So here's what I look at this. The best profiles that you might see online, again, we talked, they might not always translate into being the best people. It could mean they're really good at marketing themselves. It could mean, and I mean, it just means that sometimes anybody who initially can come across as a little too good to be true, there might be a little bit more of an underbelly to that. So not only do we talk about giving things a lot more time, it's looking for the ones that are going to be that maybe not everybody else is going for. So if you are online and you're looking at profiles, if you only message the most interesting profiles that you see that are exciting to you, chances are the best profiles stand out to every single online dater. They're all going to the same people. Those people have a ton of options. Now, the interesting thing I've observed is that the people that my clients end up falling in relationships with, sometimes their profiles are great, but sometimes it's just a few sentences and a few photos. Sometimes that photo has sunglasses. We have a client who's a great guy who had a picture holding a rifle from a pickup truck. Okay.
Travis, if you're listening, that's you.
yes. Oh, we'll never get over it, Travis. But until you came and did our photo shoot and we're like, whoa, male model. But anyway, I digress. It's one of those things where there are good people online and nobody knows what they're doing. So we want to give people the benefit of the doubt, except for red flags, to which we will always say red flags are red flags. So we're not talking about the profiles where people are negative or have all the other things, which we'll get to in part two of our podcast. But what I'm saying is that it is better if you are on the fence when you're messaging, always say yes to someone versus saying no to get more information. Send that extra heart, even if he's got a couple sentences and just a few photos, or if she, you know, she's got pictures of lots of travel photos and you see her, but you're not really sure, like, oh, I don't know if I travel as much as she does. Take a risk. Give her a little heart if we're talking about unmatch, and yes, send a message and see what comes back to you. sometimes it's the ones that don't get all the attention that they're so excited. It's like Christmas in July when they get a message from you. They write back, and I find that the replies that clients are getting back from those profiles that look a little bare, they're getting full messages with lots of good details and great stories and great exchanges back and forth. So be open. It's like, you know, Nordstrom Rack. There is, you have to sort through a bunch of stuff when you're there, but there is always a treasure to be found.
And ladies, I'm going to point this message. If you're looking for a man, this message is pointed to you. There's great research out there that shows how incredibly discerning women are when they're messaging men, and that the majority of women online are messaging the same 20% of men. And what does that mean? That means there's 80% of dudes. I'm not saying they're all amazing or incredible, but I'm saying there's a lot of treasures that are available. 99% of women start their height search at 5'10". Okay. Now the average woman in this country is 5'5". Okay. So now, even if you're 5'5" and you're listening to this and you're not a heightist and you're like, okay, I could do someone my own height, you've just increased your height span 5 extra inches. And you know what? The guy that's 5'6" that you probably would have dated in high school, would have dated in college, would date him because he's amazingly funny and a colleague of yours at work. Those are the same dudes that are online that you are passing by. And those guys, when they get an email from a woman proactively, they will reach out and say, oh my God, when I get an email from a woman, it's like Christmas in July. So know that the online dating medium is favoring men that are tall. No slight against taller people. But if you want the secrets of where to find good people and you're good at this, and remember, what did I say in my TED Talk? Everybody is the same height lying down. Okay. You yes. know what I mean. And if you're wondering, what does that mean? Just think just about think it. About I'm it. Not going to, we're not doing after dark yet. Okay. Yeah. But think about these things that we're telling you with the treasure hunt, and we're telling you how we're coaching our clients. Hey, look over here. Everybody's going to email the guy that looks like Brad Pitt and is 6 feet tall and says he makes over $150,000. Let's look at the other guys.
And some of the most successful people I've worked with some of the most successful people I've seen online downplay it a little bit because they don't want everyone kind of drawn to them for their success or their money or other things. But the key with treasure hunting, and I want to make sure you all see this, is this is not about settling.
Hell no.
This is not about just saying, well, I guess he's okay and he'll do because they told me not to email Brad Pitt. That is not at all what we're saying. What we're saying is that there are amazing people everywhere. I think that the majority of the people online are good, good people. And we just hear the crazy stories. People love to tell that there are terrible things that have happened, but it's a very, very small percentage. And I get really excited because I mean, I love what I do. And I feel like my clients are all those hidden treasures online. They're the ones that I get so excited when someone discovers their profile and sees how amazing they are. And they get a chance to really build connections. So like, this is one of those things where be generous in spirit, recognize that people don't know what they're doing. They don't usually have coaches. Now, if you worked with us, you would have an amazing profile online. True. You'd have gorgeous pictures and it'd be well-written, and we would teach you how to message people and all of those good things. But the majority of people don't have coaches. So if you're on the fence, say yes until there's a very clear-cut reason to say no. And right, if there are red flags, they come out, I promise you.
Absolutely, 100%. And along with treasure hunting, what that naturally leads into is the next point that we want to tell you about, which I'll tee it up for you. Diversification. One of my favorite words as a former finance professional.
Oh, you know, and this is what we talked a little bit about earlier with the idea that you want to make sure that you have a lot of variety of different people that you are talking to, that you are casting a wide net. Sometimes we like to say, play the Goldilocks game. Somebody that looks exactly what you want, somebody who seems like they are a little bit outside this box or a little outside that box, and have a variety of people that you're talking to, because the person that, again, seems like they might be the front runner might not always end up. Bella and I were, there's a story. Oh my gosh. I think we've laughed about this a lot over the years, but there was a client of ours who, this guy seemed amazing on paper. He was successful. He owned a very successful business. He was fast and furious. We sort of felt, we got the sense early on, our spidey sense is really good. And it was that this person's a little bit charming. We felt narcissistic, but this was a client that was overcoming that pattern. She was definitely drawn to that. And as the red flags, the pink flags turned to red flags, and we were trying to guide her away from this one situation in which she wanted to stop dating everybody else. She had a great pipeline. She stopped responding to all of them. She put all of her eggs in the basket with this one guy, until we finally were like, all right, that he is bad news bears. We have got to get rid of this one. And so when she went to break up with him, not only did he turn nasty on her, he's like, I can't believe you would stop dating me now. You haven't even seen my abs yet.
This dude was a complete D-bag, right? Oh, and it was so obvious, like Lindsay's saying, and she was so enamored by him because, yeah, he was good looking. Yeah, he probably had washboard abs under that shirt. Yeah, he said he was successful. But even though she had been through therapy, even though she had coaches, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, that magnetic pull towards dysfunction is so high. And as human beings, we want to do the same things we're habituated to. So if your habits are always pointing you to the wrong people, this is where we will tell you again and again, like, okay, I know you're so drawn to this person, but he is not good for you. And you may have all the information, but remember, people say knowledge is power. Knowledge is not power. Execution is power. And that's where Lindsay can teach her client, here are all the red flags, yes, right? And said he was client knows remember, all of the red negative flags. And
Lindsay's going to her.
He was just an ass. But that's what she was used to. And she was like, oh my God, he's so amazing. And we're like, you're not going to be exclusive with him. Turn the frequency down, right? Because he wanted to be exclusive right away. And when she said, I don't want to be exclusive with you, I just want to keep dating other people, first of all, she was kicking and screaming, and she did not want to take Lindsay's advice about this. And when she presented this to the guy who was pressuring her, it is an amazing litmus test. A man that is good for you is going to be like, listen, yes, I get that you want to slow this down. I know if you're dating other people, I'm going to win. I'm going to stay in the game. That's a good person. A person who says, you haven't even seen my abs yet. Do you know how many other women in the Midwest want to date me? There's a line of them up around the corner. Okay, that's not a good response. So what we are telling you is, these are things, always diversify your dating pipeline, because I know you can get tired. You can get date weary. You just want to get off the apps. You just want to be cozy, cuddled up in a relationship again. What we're telling you is, don't do that too quickly.
Don't
diversify.
And if you only focus on that one person, anxiety will rise. You start dating from a place of fear. You start worrying that you will ignore red flags. You'll play that game. This always happens. We're like, well, he's not as bad as that last relationship I was in, and start justifying, because the fear of going back and having to start all over again seems worse. And so red flags get pushed under. And we always say, where there is smoke, there is fire.
Preach.
Every time. When red flags are red flags, they start out small. There is usually, we're like, this is the tip of the iceberg. There is a whole host of that. And so one of the big things we really teach our clients to do is, how do you screen people? What do you look for first? What are the biggest red flags? And that's a whole other episode too. But it's really about paying attention, because when you have options, you can see things more clearly, and you can let people go because you have others to fall back on. But if you have only one, you hold on to it really, really, really tight, then it's a lot harder and you will make excuses. This happens. We've seen it. Sometimes our clients have to do that to sort of realize how it doesn't work. And then they come back and they're like, okay, guys, I'm ready. I'll take your advice. It happens. It's very normal, but keep your options open so you can be smart, so you can see the red flags, so you can pay attention, and so you don't get burned.
Well, I mean, Lindsay, I can't even like describe to you how much of your brain you've just released at this point and how amazing this is. And I promised you guys that she is this amazing, that we're going to do a follow-up episode that we're going to drop next week with even more of Lindsay's secrets to dating and love success. I am so happy that we were able to do this. And I know you guys are going to be messaging me. We want more Lindsay. We want more Lindsay. And we're going to give you way more Lindsay as we go forward. So yeah. Lindsay, thank you for your inaugural episode today. And ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned because next week there's going to be more of Lindsay.
Yay. No, thank you so much. This has been really fun. And I am really excited for everybody who's listening. We love this. And I am just sending out lots of love to all of you. And go online, practice, focus on your 1% this week. Focus on the things we've talked about today. We are in your corner. We are cheering you on, and we want you to be successful at this. So we've got you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as usual, if you love this episode, give it 5 stars. Tell us what you love. As the little new podcast on the block, we need your love and we need your support to keep doing this. So rate it, share it with your friends, tell people why you love it. And if you want more of us, 2 times a day, we're posting on Instagram on Smart Dating Academy. Follow us. You'll get fun tips, things that will help you, things that'll probably help to change your life and your perspective in the dating world. And sign up for the Smart Dating Academy free newsletter. You get all the info first, even before the podcast drops. So until next week, and until we get more Lindsay, have an amazing week.
Aww.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.